हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथोबलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्तु निराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनिरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ओम शांति शांति शांति। सामवेदीये केनोपनिषदि द्वितीयखंडे चतुर्थः मंत्रः। We have seen actually the meaning of the mantra, fourth mantra. We also know the benefit of jnana. But to ascertain what we have understood already, not to be doubtful at all. So the doubts of apurvimamsaka, doubts of vaiseshika, a doubt of a Buddha, can be our doubts also. If at all we can be, may not be. Need not be our doubts. But can be doubts also. There's a possibility of mistaking. Why there's a possibility of mistaking? I've sent in my notes actually, in the notes. See, the consciousness and the thought. Consciousness is the subtlest reality. Thought also is equally inexplicably subtlest material product. The consciousness and thought are inseparably united, inseparably combined. There's no way of distancing it. But still, we have to discern consciousness alone. And that consciousness alone should be taken as the meaning of the word I. In discerning the consciousness, what we'll come to know is consciousness not the subject, not the object. It's absolutely free from any action. It is distinct from both subject and object. Consciousness is not the knower, it's not the known, it's not the knowledge. It is just consciousness. It is pure knowledge, it's pure consciousness. That's because knowing is its very nature, swarupa. But without consciousness, there cannot be knowledge, there cannot be knower or known. That's why we say this is the substratum, adhara, adhishtanam for the knower, known and knowledge. And that consciousness alone is implied by the term Brahman or Atma. That is the only truth, that alone is Satyam. Everything else is Mithya, being non-separate from that Satyam. Therefore, Acharya presents, Bhagavatpada presents, others' views and pointing out their fallacies. So, we have seen yesterday, in yesterday's class, the view of Kanada Matam. Vaiseshika's view we saw. Because Vaiseshika also sees Brahman as Brahman or Atma as inert substance. Therefore, Vaiseshika's view contradicts Vedantic view, Shruti's vision, Smriti's vision, and also it very much contradicts the logic, reasoning also. We saw all that. We come to the last part. Okay, I'm going to read that, today's last part. Bhagavatpada points out the logical fallacies. First of all, he said, Atma is all pervasive. It has no specific locus. And being all pervasive, it is inseparable from everything, including the mind. If we see, if the if he is of the view that my Atma and mind combine, then there'll be a problem of the orderliness, order in the function of mind. So the perceptions must be there, cognitions must be there, memory must be there. These how the order is appropriate. So this order also will be not possible if mind and Atma combine. First he mentioned. The second we'll go to today's class. Samsarga dharmitam cha. I've come to today's class. Samsarga dharmitam cha. Atmanaha shruti smriti nyaya viruddham kalpitam syat. See, samsarga dharmitvam. Samsargaha. Please make a note. There's a verb, srijati, srijati, srijate. Means creates. Srijdhatu. If you add the prefix, the meaning changes. Samsrijate. Samsrijati is the verb. What is the noun? Sargaha. Sargaha, creation. Samsargaha, association. Connection. Okay? So, srishtihi, creation, feminine noun. Masculine noun is what? Sargaha, creation. But, samsargaha means association, combination, connection, union. These are the meanings. Okay. Atmanaha samsarga dharmitvam. So Atma having the status of combining itself with something, associating itself with something, is not possible. Because all pervasive Atma cannot have any connection, association, attachment with anything. It contradicts what now? Shruti smriti nyaya viruddham kalpitam syat. It becomes contradicted by shruti, smriti and nyaya. Nyaya means reasoning. And there we saw those two quotes from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Bhagavad Gita. Asangohi na sajjate asaktam sarvabhrut. Itihi shruti smriti. This also we have seen already. And towards the end, how it is connected by nyaya. He gives all three examples. Giving three different examples. One from shruti, one from smriti, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad statement. And also he states, also nyaya, the logically also, what is the logic here? Gunavat gunavata samsrajyate. A thing with an attribute is associated with another thing with the attribute. Na atulya jatiyam. Na atulya jatiyam. See, tulya jatiyam means belonging to the same category. Atulya jatiyam means not belonging to the same category. Why? The mind is a tiny one and Atma is a huge one. And they do say mind is of the size of an anuhu, from anupramanam. It's like an atom. Mind is subtle like an atom, whereas Atma is all pervasive like this space, vibhuk pramanam. Therefore, which are of two different categories. Therefore, the combining is not possible. Okay. With that is over. Okay. Now we'll come to the next sentence. Ataha, today's class. We are seeing today's portion. Ataha, therefore, nirgunam, nirvisesham, sarvavilakshanam, kenachidapi, atulya jatiyena, samsrajyate, iti etad, nyaya viruddham bhavet. Therefore, finally he says how the Vaiseshika's view is contradicted by logician also, their reasoning also. Ataha, therefore, Nirgunam Nirvisesham. This is attributeless. Again, Nirvisesham means both mean the same. Nirvisesham also means attributeless. Nirgunam also means attributeless. Therefore, Nirgunam means attributeless. Nirvisesham means what? Being free from the any specific attribute. So, Atma is not, being free from specific attributes or general attributes. Sarva Vilakshanam, and which is distinct from everything. Kenachidapi, such a thing, such a reality, the Atma or Brahman, which is attributeless, which is free from general attributes, which is free from specific attributes, and which is distinct from everything. Such a thing. Kenachidapi atulya jatiyena, with anything which doesn't belong to the same category or species, samsrajyate, it is connected, iti etat, nyayavaruddham bhavet. It will be definitely contradicted by reasoning if it is said that the attributeless reality which is distinct from everything is associated with, connected with something which is not of the same species, not of the same category. So, nyaya viruddham bhavet. It will be definitely contradicted logically. So, with that, the refutation of Vaisheshika Matam, Vaisheshika's view is over. Okay. We'll come to the new lesson today. Finally, Acharya concludes. Tasmat, therefore. Now, all the defects, the error, logical errors have been brought to light. Now, therefore, he has to make a conclusion of Tasmat, therefore. What is Brahma? Now finally he says again, what is Brahma in the light of a Vedantic teaching? Nitya alupta jnana swarupa jyotihi. I want to memorize his sentence. Nitya alupta jnana swarupa jyotihi atma Brahma. What is Brahma? Brahman is atma. Brahma is what? It's absolute reality, ultimate truth, which is of such a limitlessness, with only truth of the entirety of the cosmos, including time and space, is Brahma. That Brahma is being all-pervasive, is there as the innermost essence, and very content of I in every being. The Atma. That Brahman is arrived at as Atma. How? What is it? Nitya alupta jnana swarupa jyotihi. Jnana swarupa jyotihi. Atma is the pure light of, Atma is of the nature of the light of consciousness. Nature of pure knowledge. Which is eternal, which never gets lost. So, everlasting, never lost. Okay? Everlasting. The never lost is what? Alupta. Lupta means that which gets lost. L-O-S-T. Okay? But here, never lost. Everlasting, never lost. Pure knowledge. Atma is of the nature of light of everlasting, never lost. Pure knowledge. Alupta jnana. We talk about alupta drik. Alupta drik also. Alupta jnana means alupta drik. Because there's never, Atma is always there knowing. Isn't it? Knowing the deep sleep state, knowing the dream state, knowing the waking state. The three states of experience keep on changing. Always is there knowing, 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 because nature is knowing. That is why nitya alupta Alupt Jnana Swarupa Jyoti Atma. Brahman is Atma, which is of the nature of the light of pure, everlasting, never lost knowledge, the consciousness. Okay, therefore, Sarva Bodhrutve Atmanaha Siddhyati. Brahma iti ayam artha. This meaning alone finally becomes accomplished. Siddhyati. This meaning alone fits here. The bodham, bodham, pratibodha viditam matam. This is the meaning which is appropriate. This ayam artha, this meaning alone finally becomes established. Siddhyati. This meaning alone is an appropriate meaning. Why? Sarva bodha bodhrutve atmanaha siddhyati. See, sarva bodha means every, sarva bodha means bodhrutve. Atma has the status of being the absolute knower. Bodhrutva means what? Having the status of being the knower. Atmanaha bodhrutva asti. Atma has the status of being the absolute knower of the thought in every cognition, all the cognitions. Sarva bodha bodhrutva asti atmanaha. What does it mean? Atma has the status of being the knower of all cognitions. All thoughts, all variable thoughts. If Atma has to be the constantly coming, has to be the knower of arriving, departing thoughts, Atma must be what? The witness only. Now, Atma cannot go along with the thought. So Atma must be there permanently. That's why invariably, changelessly, permanently, Atma must be there as the knower of the variable changing thoughts in all the cognitions. The sarva word bodha means cognition. Sarva bodha bodhrutvam asti atmanaha. Atma is the absolute knower of the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting knower of all the changing, arriving, departing cognitions and good thoughts. Iti ayamartha siddhyati. This is the meaning which is appropriate meaning. Na anyatha, not otherwise. If this meaning is not taken, there is no way of the meaning of Atma becomes really understood. That is why Pujasami used to ask, before you were born, whether you were there or not. The question is asked, I know, at present I know I am, because I know I am here. But before you were born, you were there or not? Immediately what will you say? You will take the body as I, then you will say, no, I was not there. If you say you were not there before the body was born, how do you know you were not there? To know your own presence, you must have been there before. We easily said, I know that I was not here. How do you know that you were not here before? I mean, you must have been there before. That is why Nitya Alupta Druk. Okay? Nitya Alupta Jnana Swarupa Jyotihi. Nitya Alupta Druk. Okay. Na anyatha. Na anyatha means what? This is the only way you can arrive at the truth. There is no other way. Tasmat, therefore, pratibodha viditam matam iti yatha vyakhyataha eva artaha asmabhihi. Tasmat, therefore. See, every time you make a conclusion, you have to say Tasmat, therefore. Pratibodha viditam matam iti. The sentence, Pratibodha viditam matam, the expression Pratibodha viditam matam. Atma is really known only when it is known distinctly as pure consciousness, being discerned from every thought in every cognition. Atma is known, really known, only when it is distinctly known as permanent, invariable consciousness, discerned from all variable thoughts in every cognition. Pratibodha viditam matam iti. Yatha vyakhyataha eva artha asmabihi. So, in this fourth mantra, this particular first quarter of the mantra, having this expression, Pratibodha viditam matam, as explained, yatha vyakhyataha eva artha. Asmabhi yatha vyakhyataha. Actually, the actual meaning of the expression, Pratibodha viditam matam, is appropriate only as it was unfolded, explained, expounded by us. Asmabhi yatha vyakhyataha. Exactly as unfolded by us, explained by us, only is correct meaning. Eva artaha. Yatha vyakhyataha eva. Yatha asmabhi vyakhyataha eva artaha. As explained by us, then whatever meaning was given, that meaning alone is appropriate meaning. Is it clear? Okay. Now with this, again Bhagavad Pada clarified how the vision of an Advaiti alone is correct. Others' views contradict all the pramanams, Shruti Pramanam, Smriti Pramanam, and even logic, reasoning, Nyaya Pramanam. Now one more view he is going to refute. And actually, the Buddha's view. So Acharya assumes, imagine, in keeping with Buddha's view of the Atma, if Buddha happens to interpret this sentence, of course Buddha doesn't even come near Veda. Because he has his own view of, is of course Bauddha matam is, we know very well, it's Avaidika matam, it's Nastika matam. They don't accept Veda as the Pramanam at all. But still, they have their own view of the Atma. From the standpoint of Bauddha's view, how would be this interpretation of this mantra, this particular statement? Acharya gives, again shows the limitation in his view. Even though there are four schools of Buddhism, of all the four schools, Acharya does not care here. Why? Because the other three schools of Buddhism are refuted by this Kshanika Vijnana Vadi. Kshanika Vijnana Vadaha. It otherwise known as Yogachara Bauddha Matam. Yogachara Bauddha Darshanam or Bauddha Matam is otherwise said to be Bauddha Matam, Yogachara Bauddha Matam, Bauddha Darshanam has this view, has their argument, has their view, and their view is said to be Kshanika Vijnana Vadaha. And that alone, because this Kshanika Vijnana Vadi, so Yogachara Bauddha, who is given to this view of Kshanika Vijnana, in whose understanding Atma is a fleeting consciousness, momentary consciousness. So he himself refutes all other three schools of Buddhism. Therefore, Acharya only takes him. So by pointing out the error in his view, of course, Buddhism becomes negated as well. The Buddha's view also becomes, Bauddha's view becomes negated. So kshanikam means moment. Kshanikam, because kshanaha. See, kshanam means moment. And kshanika means what? Momentary. Kshanam, kshanaha. Kshanam means moment. This is kshanam. And kshanikam, momentary. And vijnanam, he means consciousness. At least he's far better than other people. He doesn't say nothing as is there. At least there is consciousness. And kshanika vijnanavadi alone really comes very, very much closer to Advaita Darshanam. The biggest problem is, he sees the manifestation of consciousness, a reflection of consciousness, as the Atma. So, Chit Abhasa. So, Bhagavad Pada makes it very clear. The Chit Abhasaha means what? Reflection of consciousness, the manifestation of consciousness. Reflected, manifested consciousness is Chidabhasaha. Is there something called Chidabhasaha? No. Chidabhasaha, the same Chit consciousness, is looked upon as Abhasa, reflection or manifestation, when it is recognizable. When it is not recognizable, same chit is what? Pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Recognizable is Chidabhasa. Non-recognizable is pure consciousness. What happens? When is it recognizable? When it is not recognizable? In the presence of the thought, when the thought rises and thought exists, in the presence of the thought, Atma is recognizable as the knower of the thought. The consciousness, the abstract reality, is recognizable as the knower of the thought. The thought is not there. Atma continues to be Atma without the knower qualification. And the pure consciousness is non-recognizable. In the presence of the thought, as an over of the thought, Atma is recognizable. It's recognizable, we say manifested, manifestation of consciousness. So, in a way, the mind or the vritti, vrittis of the mind serve as manifesting media for consciousness. Even though mind is very much dependent on consciousness for its very existence. Therefore, in the presence of the thought, the same Atma, the consciousness, being available for recognition, is looked upon as manifested, manifestation, reflection of consciousness, Chidabhasa. The thought goes, when the Atma loses the status of being the knower, Atma continues to be there without the knower qualification. It is pure consciousness, pure knowledge. Really speaking, there's no such a thing called reflected consciousness or manifested consciousness. There's just abstract, formless reality, which is of the nature of knowing, which is of the nature of consciousness, the pure consciousness, which is Brahma, is also implied with the term Atma. So here, but the recognizable, the source of manifestation is not known here, for a Buddha. And in every cognition, every time cognition comes, when the thought rises, there's a cognition. So thought pertaining to a given object, a thought pertaining to the self or the object when it rises, and that is a cognition. In cognition, of course, there is, we know very well, every cognition involves two aspects, consciousness and the thought. Two components, two aspects. But he does not discern the consciousness self. That's why he fails. Otherwise, he's come very close. He does not discern the consciousness separately, cognitively. Does not see it as Atma. He takes the whole cognition as the Atma. When what happens? One thought rises and it goes. Because thoughts keep on moving. Thoughts are all pertaining to the changing objects. So thought modifications, every thought is pertaining to a given object. So objects are different, objects are many, objects are varied, objects are of the nature of changing. Therefore, thoughts also vary. The thoughts vary, it looks, the reflections of the manifestations of the pure consciousness also seems to be changing. Consciousness does not change. So, he thinks a cognition rises, cognition goes. Therefore, he mistakes the manifestation of consciousness for the Atma, and he mistakes that it keeps moving. So, fleeting consciousness. And how long does a thought remain? How long does a cognition remain? Only for a moment. That is why he mistakes the manifestations for the reality. Therefore, he calls kshanikam, vijnanam kshanikam. Consciousness is momentary. And the momentary consciousness is the Atma for him. Not the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting, alupta drik. Alupta jnana surupaha is not his Atma. For him, the consciousness recognizable in the presence of thought is mistaken to be the fleeting consciousness. And then every time the consciousness comes and consciousness goes, consciousness comes and consciousness goes. So the constant continuous flow of this conscious, fleeting consciousness. That is his view. Which means an Atma is the knower of the self. Atma is the knower of the self. It is this consciousness is the knower of the self. So knower of the thought and knower of the self. He also says Atma is the knower, but knower of the self. And who knows, who is the knower of this fleeting consciousness? Who is the knower of these cognitions, fleeting cognitions, arriving, departing cognitions? Atma. But he says, Atma is the self-knower. Tannitan, Atma is self-knower. Which means he also says, no, Atma does not know itself also. Atma is not the knower of the objects. Atma is not the knower of the self also. Even though there is no knower other than the Atma. The only knower of the self and the world is Atma. But Atma is not the knower of the self and the world. Understand? The only knower is Atma, but Atma is not the knower of the self and the world. Therefore, that is the Buddha's view. So he's called a Kshanika Vijnanavadi. So this Yogacharya Bauddha's view, the Acharya is going to refute here. Okay. And Acharya beautifully introduces first. Yat punaha swasamvedyata swasamvedyata. See, swayam Atmanam veti. Atma swayam atmanam veti. This fleeting consciousness knows itself. Which means what? Swayam veti iti ஸ்வசம்வேத்யஹ. ஸ்வசம்வேத்யதா ஸ்வசம்வேத்யத்வம் சம்வேத்தி, ஸ்வயம் ஆத்மானம் ஸ்வயம் சம்வேத்தி. ஆத்மானம் ஸ்வயம் சம்வேத்தி, வாட் ஆத்மா நோஸ் இட் செல்ஃப் வெல். ஹி ஆல்சோ கிவ்ஸ் திஸ் நோவர் குவாலிஃபிகேஷன் தி ஆத்மா. வி சே வாட் ஆத்மா இஸ் நாட் த நோவர், அது செல்ஃப் ஆஃப் த வேர்ல்ட். ஆத்மா இஸ் ஆஃப் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் நோயிங், therefore it is knower from the standpoint of the known only. From the standpoint of the atma, atma is not the knower. And swa samvedyatvam or swa samvedyata means atma having the status of being the knower of itself, its own self. Swa samvedyatvam is a neuter noun. Swa samvedyata feminine noun. What does it mean? So samvedyata means atma having the status of being the knower of itself. Okay, so swasamvedyata is a Buddhist view. Yat punaha swasamvedyata pratibodha viditam ityasya vakyasya artha varnyate. If you apply Buddhist's view and interpret this statement of Upanishad, then logical fallacy? We have to see that. Pratibodha viditam ityasya vakyasya artha varnyate. Here the meaning of this expression pratibodha viditam is seen from the Buddhist's view of self-knowing. So this Kshanika Vijnana Vadi Vadaha is also known as Swasamvedyatva Vadaha, Swasamvedyata Vadaha. So according to this view of Yogacara Buddha, we, as we saw, the reality, the consciousness is only momentary because it comes and goes. It's a fleeting consciousness, they call it. And this consciousness, no, it is self, we also say self-revealing, but we say it as Swarupam, not as an action. So Buddha also says what consciousness is self-revealing. I mean, it is self-knower. Let us see next verse. Tatra bhavati. Tatra bhavati. Sopadhikatve atmanaha. Buddhi upadhi swarupatvena. பேதம் பரிகல்ப்ய ஆத்மனா ஆத்மானம் வேத்தி இது சம்வ்யவஹார. ஓகே, தி தத்ர பவதி சோபாதிகத்வே ஆத்மனஹ புத்தி உபாதி ஸ்வரூபத்வேன பேதம் பரிகல்ப்ய ஆத்மனா ஆத்மானம் வேத்தி இதி சம்வ்யவஹாரஹ. ஐம் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ரீடிங் சம் பகவத்பாதா சென்டென்ஸ். சோ பகவத்பாதா ஹியர் பிரசன்ஸ் அ மந்த்ரா, த கோட் ஃப்ரம் பிருஹதாரண்யக உபநிஷத்து. ஹாஸ் த பிரசன்ஸ் அனதர் சென்டென்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் பகவத்கீதா. சோ டேக்கிங் டூ எக்ஸாம்பிள்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் ஸ்ருதி அண்ட் ஸ்மிருதி, உபநிஷத் அண்ட் பகவத்கீதா, ஹி இஸ் கோயிங் டு ஹெல்ப் அஸ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தி லிமிட்டேஷன் ஆஃப் Yogacara Buddha, imitation the thing in the view of Yogacara Buddha. So here, what does Upanishad say here? Atmanyeva atmanam pashyati. One sees oneself. Atmanyeva atmanam pashyati. So atma sees itself in oneself. This is what meaning, this literal meaning. ஆத்மனியேவ ஆத்மானம் பஷ்யதி. அவர் அனதர் சென்டென்ஸ், ஸ்வயமேவ ஆத்மனா ஆத்மானம் வேத்தத்வம் புருஷோத்தமா. ஸ்வயமேவ ஆத்மனா ஆத்மானம் த்வம் வேத்த. யூ நோ யுவர் செல்ஃப் த்ரூ யுவர் செல்ஃப். ஸ்வயமேவ ஆத்மானம் வேத்த. யூ யுவர் செல்ஃப் நோ yourself by yourself. You know yourself by yourself. These sentences from Bhagavad Gita. So when these sentences are given in the Upanishad and Bhagavad Gita, what it means is, there is no knower at all other than the Atma. Apart from Atma, other than Atma, whatever seems to be there, what nothing is really there apart from Atma, whatever seems to be there, in the form of body, mind and complex, in the form of thoughts, in the form of the external world of objects, whatever is there other than the Atma is only, what seems to be there, is only seems to be there because it is non-separate from Atma. It is only appearance of the Atma only. And therefore, the knower of whatever is Atma, and the knower of the Atma is also Atma, which means there is no knower other than the Atma. The knower can never become the known can never become the knower. Who is the knower of the Atma? Who has to know the Atma? Of course, the knower of the Atma is Atma. Knower of the world also is Atma. But Atma is not the knower. From the standpoint of Atma, Atma is not the knower at all. It will be very, very clear. Atma is not the knower from the standpoint of the Atma. So this knower is a temporary qualification attributed to the Atma, isn't it? Atma is not the knower. But who else is the knower? The knower is the Atma. That's why we have to be very careful. The knower status is attributed to the Atma only from the standpoint of the known. The standpoint of the Atma, Atma is not the knower. The standpoint of the Atma, we can only say what is there is only Atma. There is neither the knower nor the known. You have to see from which standpoint, isn't it? There is a big difference. This is what is meant in these two verses, two sentences. The Upanishad quote and the Bhagavad Gita quote. Atmaniyeva atmanam pashyati. One sees the self in oneself, in one's own mind. Swayameva atmana atmanam vetha tvam purushottama. So, here Acharya presents these quotes to show. Tatra bhavati sopadhikatve. Sa upadhikattam is what? In having the upadhis. Only when there is association with the upadhi. Sopadhikattam, having the status of having the upadhi. Only when there is upadhis, atmanaha buddhi upadhi swarupatvena. Buddhi upadhi, when the intellect serves as a means upadhi, a manifesting medium, a limiting adjunct, upadhi swarupatvena. So, the very swarupam of the buddhi, the very truth of every thought, every very truth of the very intellect, very essential, very swarupam of every intellect, every thought, every cognition. Buddhi swarupatvena bedam parikalpya atmanam veti iti samvyavaharaha. See, first of all, he makes it very clear. See, there is, okay, samvyavaharaha means it's a proper explanation. How? Vedam parikalpya. Vedam parikalpya. Showing the Atma being distinct, different from the thought. Vedam Parikalpya. So Parikalpanam here means what? Clearly having pointed out the difference between the thought and the consciousness, and showing the, bring the, take the attention to the pure consciousness, obtaining as the very truth of the intellect, which is upadhi. See, only when the upadhi is functional, only when the association with the upadhi is there, only then Atma can be recognized. That is why buddhi is an upadhi, intellect is an upadhi. And the intellect here is, intellect here means the mind. Mind is an upadhi. The mind is constituted of countless number of thoughts. And the thought is, we know very well, thought is inert matter. But the thought, in the presence of consciousness alone, becomes the cognition. So buddhi, upadhi, what is the swarupam of the buddhi? That which obtains as a swarupam of every thought is one and the same consciousness. That's why we say mind is like an ocean and the thoughts are like the waves. And the water is the only truth of every wave. Even the water is the only truth of the entire ocean. Similarly here, the abstract, formless, pure consciousness is the only truth of every cognition, truth of every thought, all the thoughts, and the entire mind. Consciousness is the only truth of the entire mind of countless number of thoughts which constitute the mind. So, swarupam, buddhehe swarupam. Buddhi upadhi swarupatvena. Pointing out the Atma being the very truth of the entire mind, which serves as an upadhi, thereby showing the reality, consciousness being the truth of every thought. Parikalpya, Atmana Atmanam Veti, iti samvyavaharaha. This is what is meant, this is what is meant by these statements of Shruti and Smriti. Atmana Atmanam Veti means Samvyavahar. Atmana Atmanam Veti means what? By distinguishing the consciousness from the thought, and there the consciousness being the invariably present truth in all the variable cognitions. It is said that Atma is the knower. Knower of the self and knower of the thought. Atma being the knower of the thought. We understand Atma as the knower of the thought. When you arrive at the Atma as the knower of the thought, then you understood what Atma is. At the same time, Atma has to be arrived only as the knower. After arriving at the Atma as the knower, we understand Atma is not the knower. Is it clear? Atma is not the knower. But if the upadhi is not there, natu nirupadikasya atmanaha, sopadikasya atmanaha, when Atma is with an upadhi, the limiting adjunct, the manifesting medium, the mind, Atma is recognizable as the knower of the mind. But when the upadhi is not there, nirupadikaha Atma means what? Atma without upadhi, yekatve, in oneness, Atma being, Atma has a status of being one, then swasamvedyata, parasam vedyata vana sambhavati. Atma cannot have the status of being the knower of itself or knower of something else when Atma is by itself. Got it now? What he says? nirupadikasya atmanaha ekatve. When atma has a status of being one without upadhi, there's no possibility of atma having the status of being the knower of itself or the knower of anything else, knower of the thought also. So atma is neither the knower of itself nor the knower of the thought. When the standpoint of the atma. That's why in deep sleep state, what happens? In deep sleep state also, in deep sleep state we can't say atma is the knower of the self. Atma is the knower of the mind. There's it's not an action. Why it is not an action there in deep sleep state? Because there's no instrument is used. No will is used. There's no instrument of knowledge used by the Atma to know the blankness of mind. There's no will is involved there. Atma is, by its mere presence, it knows. We only understand Atma, knowing being the Swarupa of the Atma, not an action. If the Upadhi is not there, then without the Upadhi, Atma cannot have the status of being the knower also. Knower of itself or the knower of anything else also. So he says, make it very clear, nirupadhikasya atmanaha, atma which is devoid of the upadhi, ekatve, when it remains one minute, always it's one only. When atma is by itself, having the status of being one, I mean, without any thoughts or anything, swasam vedyata, having the status of being knower of itself, parasam vedyata, or having the status of being knower of anything else other than itself, na sambhavati, it does not happen. So without upadhi, atma cannot be the knower at all. Atma cannot have the qualification of being the knower without the upadhi. The standpoint of atma is never the knower. No, never. It's not a knower of itself, knower of thought also. Knower of anything else also. Atma is never the knower from its own standpoint. The standpoint of upadhi, it has a temporary qualification of being the knower. Temporary qualification of being the knower. The standpoint of the known. This I've been telling in every class. Okay. I think the rest we'll see tomorrow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnam Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.